I cannot remember the last time you heard my Tosh Minnie. He's helping the study, and he said, "No, definitely."
So he's listening now to dinner.
Hope not.
Yeah, he is.
We don't know. We don't know.
That's it. Said, "You should wear a right to battle whenever the shoeing would that come up." And he says, "You know, it's not just for you. You should speak English." And for somebody who spoke Yiddish.
Good morning, Reba. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, so my first language was Yiddish. It's interesting, when I went to school when I was 3-4 years old, maybe, I didn't speak a word of English. And I learned English in school. And then later on, yeah. My mother is an American, but my father is Israeli, which sounds like, what does Yiddish come? But that was their common language. My father didn't speak English. Even till he passed away, he had a very broken English. So that was the language at home.
He was born in Israel?
He was born in Tel Aviv. Yeah, real Israeli, my father.
So when did he move?
When did he move? He was about 22, 21.
After the wedding?
No, before he got married, yeah.
So why did he move?
Well, he went to learn in 770. Yeah.
When did his parents get to Israel?
They were both Polish Jews who lived in Germany. There was a whole settlement in Germany of Polish Jews. They had both been born in Germany as parents, but they were really a whole Polish. So they came from Germany in the early 30s to Eretz Israel.
The
early to mid 30s, and it was poverty, as you know, and they came from
in Tel Aviv.
And they came from a very wealthy, apparently my grandmother was a wealthy family, and my father-in-law was a botanist. He studied in university in Germany, and then he came to Israel, and they had nothing, as we know. But he said, that's it, Germany is doomed. So and her family, Tako, she was one of 10, and none of them survived. None, all killed in Auschwitz, I think. Anyways, all right, good morning. Sorry, we are starting. I know we're late. Good morning, everybody. Okay, so today, as we said, it's Ol Hashgacha Pratis, but today we're really learning Chumash, which is always relevant, but it's also the Parsha of the week, because this week's Parsha is Parsha's Kedoshim. So we are just moving on to from where we are up to, and we are now in Perek Yotes, Pasuk Tes Vav, and as we have already seen, every pasuk has not only one mitzvah, many times two or three mitzvahs. And it's quite beautiful and quite rich and quite deep. So we'll see what we can cover today. Today we have a very interesting variety of mitzvahs, and I'm hoping to get through two pasukim. So let's see. So the first pasuk is pasuk tezvav. It's here on it's on the screen, and it's in front of you. It says number one, Lo yisa'asu ovel b'mishpat. You shall not do wrong in justice. You'll see there's sort of four different things in this pasuk. Lo sisa pnei dal, you shall not favor a destitute man. Velo sehedar pnei gadol, and the third thing is you shall not honor a great man. Bitzedek tishbait amisecha, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow. We could think, if you just look at it at face value, and we are talking to a judge, and this has to do with when litigants come in front. I thought I muted everybody. It is muted. When litigants come before you, you have to treat them fairly and evenly and equally, as you can see. And perhaps that's why it says you shall not do wrong in justice, which means that when you're judging, judge correctly. And the last part seems to sort of circle and complete the idea that you shall judge with righteousness. But we're going to see that this pasuk has a tremendous wealth of different halachas in it, and it's not only talking to a judge. But also we have to understand, what are we telling the judge? What is it that we're specifying here in his judgment? It is true, some of these mitzvahs have been mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim, obviously, and we did this in Parshas Mishpatim, but there obviously are new things that we're going to learn here. So let's start from Rashi, always good to start from Rashi, and see what does all of the different phrases, what do they refer to? So the first phrase, Lo yisa'asu avel b'mishpat. You shall not do wrong injustice. So Rashi says like this, what does it mean, wrong injustice? So who are we talking to? So he says, this is number two, Melamed, this teaches us, Shahadayin hamekalkel es hadin, So the judge who perverts judgment, so obviously judges incorrectly, intentionally, what does he? It's a very sharp Rashi. Karoi Avel, he's called a wrongdoer. But that's not all. He's not just called a wrongdoer. Rashi goes on. He's also called Sonoi, hateful. Umishukats, and repulsive. Cherem, banned. Visay Eva, and an abomination. And then Rashi gives us a proof. How do we know that we refer to judge in all these such negative, disparaging, you know, really critical words, if we only have one word here? We just say, loy sasu avel. Avel means wrong. So Rashi says, we learn from all of this that one connects to another. So he gives a proof. He says, sha'avel, the one who is a wrongdoer, is karoi se'eva. He's actually called an abomination. And he brings a pasuk somewhere, which tells us, ki se'evas Hashem v'goymer kol oise avel. It says that somebody, for it is an abomination to Hashem, any who do wrong. So it shows us that the word avel is also work, also means abomination. That's what it's also referring to. And how do we know that it means all those other negative things? Let's see, he says, v'hatoeva is also called sheketz, repulsive, and cherem, and banned. And he brings a pasuk which shows us that, as he says, shenemar v'lai savi se'eva el be'secha, v'hayisa cherem kamayu, so don't bring an abomination into your house, lest you will be banned like it. Sheket tshaktsenu, treat it with repulsion. So Rashi is interesting, because the one word he doesn't prove, if you notice, is hateful, and he still says he's called hateful. I mean, what's the point of this Rashi anyways? So obviously you can see what Rashi is telling us is that even though when you look at the pasuk just simply, it doesn't look so harsh. It just seems you're doing something slightly wrong if you pervert the justice. Rashi says, no. Don't think it's such a small thing. It's massive. And a person who acts in that way, a judge who has that capacity to be a judge, and acts in a way where he perverts judgment, is really like the lowest of the low. And that's what Rashi shows us. We'll see soon why. Why is it worse than any other thing that we do wrong? We'll see why it's such a severe kind of idea. But let's first look into the next Rashi to understand the next parts of the pasuk. So in general, we're talking to a judge. Now Rashi says a little bit more specific. What does it mean he shouldn't do wrongdoing? So Rashi says, it's interesting that the pasuk says, lo sisa pneida, right? You shall not favor a destitute man. This means that you should not say ani huze. This is interesting because here we have how a person's mind works. You might say, so here's a poor person standing in front of me, and the other litigant is a rich person. Then the rich person is obligated to provide him with his livelihood. So what should I do? I have a very good plan. As a kenu badin, I will pronounce him the verdict in his favor, in the favor of the poor person. Vinimtza misparnes benikius. So we find that he is being, so to speak, sustained in an honorable way. So I will make the rich person give the poor person the money because really the poor person needs it more than the rich person. The truth is that it does make sense logically, but it doesn't if you're talking about justice, right? If you're talking about being honest and doing things according to the halacha, then it doesn't make sense. So to us, we think, which judge would do that? The truth is that this is obviously the halacha is about a judge, but it's all of us as well in how we interact with other people. Sometimes we let our subjective self play in to how we relate to other people. Now, sometimes it's good. Sometimes we have to, because we have to show compassion. But we have to be very careful. It shouldn't be at the expense of somebody else. Even if we think that that's the right way. What does this mean? And we mentioned it previously. I don't know why it's doing these beepings.
You get a message on your phone?
I don't know.
It appears here.
But this is not from the phone. I don't know what it is. It's a bit of a sugar. Oh, I see. I know. Oh, my gosh. Maybe that will make a difference. I don't know. Let's see. Okay, no, because I know why. It's my daughter's thing that's also... She put into here. Okay, that's what's popping up. Let's hope it won't now. Okay, so no, it's fascinating because we do tend to do that, but even if we want to show compassion, we have to be above board. We have to say straight, I feel that this person deserves this. Just be honest, be open, obviously in a sensitive way. But a judge can definitely do this. Interesting, because when you come to judges, a judge has such a heavy responsibility because obviously he has to bring about justice, but he also ensures that the country runs properly. And we'll see soon how the Sefer HaChinuch explains it. everybody wants the country to run properly in the sense that nobody wants people to be homeless. Nobody wants poor people to be out on the streets. Nobody wants, in a sense, people want more equality, and that's a big word. Like, you know, we say there are some countries where there's very wealthy people, and then there are very poor people. And many people will say, but that's not a nice country. It's much better when things are more evenly distributed. Now, although that's true to a certain extent, and we do have responsibility to each other, Torah doesn't really hold of a pure socialist view. Because in Torah, we do have wealthy people, and we have poor people, and we have the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's a fact. So it's not about equalizing everybody in this under, you know, so to speak, in this underhanded way. It doesn't work that way. That's what Torah tells us. That's not even how Hashem works. Life is not fair, so to speak, if we haven't noticed. So that's just the way it is. We have to do what we can within our situation, give as much as we can with what we have, and take when we need to take. But that's the way Hashem made it. So you can see here how it's easy for a person to get trapped into that way of thinking. Let's go on and see what's the other one. So this one, the first one was that you don't favor a destitute man. The next part was an interesting way. If you read it out of context, you wouldn't know what it means. But he says, you shall not honor a great man. Of course you honor a great man. But here we're talking about in judgment. Shaloi saymar, that you should not say, Oshir huzeh, this is a rich man. Kein gedoylim huzeh. And not only, Ben gedoylim, he's the son of, not only is he great, but he has, you know, such an important family. Therefore, how will I humiliate him by ruling against him? And therefore, we will see his humiliation. So, what should we do? There is punishment for this matter. In other words, the judge thinks that would be a terrible thing to do. So, therefore, what he might tend to do is he might tend to lean to make this person innocent and somehow make everything work out with where he thinks it's okay. Like, in other words, he'll judge in his favor. Maybe he'll, and we'll see soon, there's a way of doing it where he'll judge in his favor, but maybe he'll make him pay a fine. But he'll say he's innocent, you know, kind of a thing. Or he'll tell him he's innocent, but give this and this amount of money to this and this. Like, he'll, in his mind, he'll adjust it in a way where he'll try to save grace, you know, where he'll try to save the person's reputation. That's not what it's about. Here we're talking about a judge who has to judge fairly. If the guy's guilty, it doesn't matter who he is. He's guilty. And you don't have to worry about his shame. Hashem worries about that. And also the person worries about it when he's doing his thing that he's doing wrong. That's when he's supposed to worry about it. So you can see here how it's, again, a very similar thing, just in the other way. And then quickly the last part. And here we'll see something interesting. So the last part seems to be a bit repetitive. But he says, "Bitzedek tishpait amisecha," with righteousness shall you judge your fellow. This is to be understood just as it sounds, which means that could be that just generally speaking, when you look at somebody else, you judge them. Not look at somebody, I'm not talking about us, when a judge looks at other people, how should he judge them? He should judge them fairly. So this is really just summarizing the pasuk. But there's another meaning. And this is very powerful, because this is really for all of us, and we're going to discuss that in a minute. This is something we know. Heve don es chavercha, judge your friend, lekafschus, towards a scale of merit. Which means, when the nature of his conduct is questionable, give him the benefit of the doubt. This is a very famous thing, that we judge others favorably. So in this, if you read it this way, then the betzedek tishbait amisecha means that when you judge the other person, we're talking about judging righteously. We're talking about who should we judge righteously? The other person. In the first way we're explaining it, we're talking about the judge, that the judge should be righteous, that he should make sure that he gives a righteous judgment, that he's judging properly. Here, the object over here is the other person. And this is not talking about a judge. This is talking about all of us. And the Sefer HaChinuch says clearly that this applies to men, to women, all times, all stages, all ages, all places.
Yeah. No contradiction.
I know, isn't it funny? Isn't it interesting? It seems a contradiction, huh?
So,
I know.
Where the judge has to be kafshut.
So interesting. It's very interesting how it's all in the same pasuk, and it seems directly to contradict what he just said before, right? Fascinating. So perhaps that's also why Rashi's saying that this is not referring to a judge, this is referring to all of us. When we're talking about us and we look at a person in the streets and we're interacting with people and we're not in the capacity of passing judgment as a judge, then we have to our scale should be to judge him favorably. So it's interesting. Fascinating thing, though, that is interesting is because if you think about it, this actually makes it even harder for a judge. Because if our whole mindset is always to look at people favorably, then the judge comes into the courtroom and he has to change his whole way of looking at things. It's quite a ask, actually. It's a big responsibility, and it's a very big shift of how our mind has to work. But we're not judges, thank God, so we're not put in that position. And we should always remember that. We are not meant to sit in judgment of everybody else. That's not our job. That's not our position. That's not what we're meant to do. But if a judge is meant to do it, and it actually says in the Mefarshim, it says an interesting thing, I think we'll read it soon in the Al-Shech, he says that if a person has the ability to be a judge, and he doesn't want to, because who would want to, right? He says that's actually, he's also doing a terrible, terrible, terrible injustice to humanity. Because what's going to happen is then they're going to choose somebody who's not a good judge, somebody who's not really capable. And then when that person judges incorrectly, it becomes almost on the shoulders of the one who should have taken the responsibility. So that's an interesting thing as well. Okay, but I just want to, let's understand what this really means. Okay, so let's first look into page number 2. Let's see a little bit more to understand. So first of all, the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us something interesting. He will explain what this mitzvah is, sheyishbait b'tzedek. Why is it important to judge, so to speak, to judge right, not favorably, righteously, correctly, as we said. So he says, what does it mean to judge correctly? So he says, he explains a few very interesting halachas. Uba ha-perush, shenitztavu ha-dayonin, so the judges have been commanded, la-hashvais balei harif. First of all, to equalize the two contenders, right? The two litigants, the ones who are standing before him, they should literally be equal in his eyes. Kleimar, shelo yechabeit adayin echad mibalei hadin, that the judge shouldn't give honor to one of the people standing before him, yaiser min ha'acher, more than the other one. The computer. Sorry, I don't know what happened, but maybe it's still good, hopefully. Anyways, doesn't matter. Maybe next week you'll come. Okay, so we say like this, that when they're standing in front of us, we obviously, some people can't, but just when they're standing in front of us, when he's standing in front of the judge has to look at them equally. So he gives very interesting examples. He says, "Shelo yehei echad medaber kol tzarkai." You shouldn't allow one of the litigants to just speak and speak and speak and speak, and then and say to the other one, "Ve'echad oimer loy katzer dvarecha." You're speaking too long. So that would be extremely unequal treatment, if you want to say. He gives another example, and this is all from the Gemara. He says, "Tanu rabbanan betzedek tishbayt amisecha shelo yehei echad oimed." The echad yoshev, one, we shouldn't have one standing and one sitting. Why? Maybe one's tired, he wants to sit. It's very interesting. Torah is so careful. The way a person appears actually makes a difference to how, not only to how you'll think about them, but how you'll hear their testimony. A person who's standing, maybe he'll do with more confidence. The person who's sitting, perhaps slouching, it won't come out as strong. It's so exact, and there's a lot of halachas about it. We'll see in a minute another halach, fascinating. He says, more than that also is, as we said, someone talks long, one talks short. V'chein b'chal mitzvah zeh shekol ish shehu chocham b'dinei ha-tayrah v'yashar b'drachav shehu mitzuvah sheyodin din tayrah bein balei hariv. That's what we said before, im yesh koyach b'yaday. And also, what should happen is, okay, I didn't read this, but it says it afterwards. If two litigants come before you, and one is dressed beautifully, and one is dressed shabbily, the real ideal, Sefer HaChinuch says, is you send one of them home. So you tell either the rich person to bring some of his wealthy clothing, his nice clothing, and dress the night, or they should both be dressed shabbily. You can't have one dressed well and one dressed not well. And the Sefer HaChinuch actually is an interesting thing. He says that in truth, in his times, he didn't see people acting that way, but he doesn't know why, because he thinks it's actually a very important thing. The other thing he says, and this is interesting also, and this is where we're coming to what I just mentioned, that if a person has the capability, even an individual, even though we always think of judges as three, but the truth is, al pi Torah, strictly biblically speaking, certain types of cases can be judged by one judge. And if a person is capable, and there's nobody else capable, he should not shirk his responsibility. He should actually take upon himself and judge properly. That's what he says. Even though the Chachamim say a person shouldn't judge on their own, but min haTorah, a person can. And then he goes on and he says, as we said, that this also, in this pasuk, we learn that a person should judge lekaf schus, and he shouldn't yifareish maisa v'dvarav ela l'tayv, he shouldn't interpret the way another person behaves only in a good way. So if you see somebody saying something, doing something, acting in a certain way, your mindset should be that you judge him favorably. What's the root of the mitzvah? As we say, what's the meaning? Why is this such an important mitzvah? Shorish ha-mitzvah, niglahu. It's revealed, it's obvious. Ki b'hashvayas ha-din. When we equalize, when we do the din properly, fairly, yisyashev ha-olam. The world is settled. And what that means is that the world can actually exist. We don't have anarchy. We have a country that runs. And perhaps that explains why Rashi says all those negative descriptive words about people who don't judge favorably, because they bring destruction to the world. It's so easy for us to see now. We look around at different countries. I never understood why it works like that. But if you look around in countries, I mean, like in South America and Brazil and in all these countries, there's so much corruption. There's nothing honest, nothing straight goes on there. And the country doesn't run. That's the fact. We are so fortunate. I'm not saying that everything's 100%, but generally speaking, at least we try to run things properly, that a judge should run things properly. And you can see the society. It's a direct, you know, it's obvious that there's such a massive difference. Unfortunately, now, in this terrible situation that we're in, and this is not to say that the illness has to do with not judging properly, but for example, a country like Brazil, which is so corrupt and everything, so now it's also it can't get anything done properly, and it affects everything. And from what I'm told, like I'm just using Brazil as an example because I know that if you want to get a license in Brazil, you just pay you don't have to pass the test, you just have to pay the instructor, whatever. That's it. That's how you get the license. It's crazy stuff. She still lives there. She's still in Brazil. She died, and now she got. Anyways, but it's a very interesting thing. So that's how we see. It's such a, as he says, this is the whole world. That's the way the world works. If you want to have a settled, proper world, we have to judge in an honest way. Okay, and then he says an interesting thing. What's so bad about honoring one of the litigants? So he says, im yichabe tadayin echad mibalei adin. If the judge honors one of the litigants, then what might happen? Al ha'echad yifchad bal hariv mila hagid kol ta'anoysav. What will happen is that one of the people, the one who's obviously not being as honored, might be afraid to set everything out, right? To say everything. He'll feel intimidated. So he won't set out his case properly. And then what will happen? Umi toich kach, Yetzei ha-mishpat me'ukal, and then obviously it will distort the judgment. So you can see how it's directly connected, that you have to treat each one equally in order so that you should be able to tack a judge fairly, because even if you think you're only treating one with more respect, that can still change the way the judgment comes out, even if you don't intend. And that's a very powerful thing. Also, that's what he says. And then, right? So we know that it's an important mitzvah for a person who knows how to learn, that he should be the one to judge between the two litigants. This is also for a purpose. Why? Obviously, somebody who knows how to learn properly and is wise and is honest, he's going to give an honest judgment. He's going to be a proper judge. And if the one who knows how to judge will not judge, Yishvitum sh'ar b'nei adam, so that other people will step in to be the judges. She'einam chachamim, that are not so wise. V'yatu adin al ha'echad mebli yedia, and they're going to lean the judgment to one without that person being aware incorrectly. Also what we mentioned before about judging others favorably, shehu b'chlal ha-mitzvah, that's included in this mitzvah. So he says, what's the reason for that? Why should we judge others favorably? Why shouldn't we, just like a judge has to judge honestly, why shouldn't we always be looking at people and saying, maybe they're making a mistake, maybe they're not, like why aren't we always out to look for the truth? Instead, we're out to, in a way, lean to the favorable side. So he says, because that increases peace and that increases friendship. It's a very powerful thing. It's very interesting, because although emes is such a value in Torah, truth is such a value in Torah, there's still a place for leaning to the favor, if you want to say, which is a very complicated thing in a way, because we are expected a lot of times to do things that are a bit contradictory. That's the way HaTorah wants from us. So we have to, and where we see this in this mitzvah is interesting, because although we're meant to judge another favorably, when we look in the mirror at ourselves, we actually should be quite critical. With ourselves, we shouldn't always be judging favorably and overlooking. With ourselves, we should be very honest. So it's actually not so simple, again, because usually what you find is if a person is very critical, then they'll be critical to everybody. But here we're asking for ourselves to be self-critical and yet to others to be very lenient and to overlook.
But it's always, we do the opposite.
That's the problem. Yeah, we tend to. Okay, as we see, we'll see next week with the bits of Avos Yisrael, how it comes in. But, okay, and then he says that the whole main, as he says, that he summarizes, the nimtza she'ikar kol kavanas ha-mitzvah, so we find what is the main purpose of this mitzvah, lahayil b'yishuv b'nei adam, to assist with literally the settling of mankind, im yosher ha-din, with true justice, v'laseis b'neihem shalom, and to put peace between them, im siluk hachshad ish b'ish, with the disappearing of suspicion between one man and another. And it's a very interesting thing, because it really does, even though it sounds like a contradiction, it actually goes together. If you have a court system that works properly, what will happen is we can take that responsibility off our own shoulders and say, I don't have to be the one to see if the person is doing the right thing or not the right thing. There are judges that are going to do that. I can leave that to them. And I can look at other people in a favorable way. And that won't distort society. And that's a very important thing. So it's an amazing thing how you have to have both aspects in order to keep the friendship, the love, the peace, and the things working, running properly in the world. And it goes together. Quite an interesting thing. Okay, let's see now how the Al-Sheikh, I'm going to show you something really, really, this is just to go back, this is very cute. The Al-Sheikh has a very interesting thing. He has, throughout Parshas Kedoshim, we didn't get to it last week, we just mentioned, and it's good because it flows more into this week's, that he shows, this is number 4 in your booklet, it says a number 4, so he shows how the mitzvahs actually flow one from the other, and how one will lead to another. So remember last week we spoke about if you steal, first of all, you shouldn't steal from somebody. Then we said you should, when you have a worker, you should make sure to pay them on time. And then we continued, that we did I think 2 weeks ago. Then we continued and we said that you shouldn't, or before the term finished, then we said that we shouldn't curse the deaf person, that you shouldn't put a stumbling block before the blind, and you should fear Hashem. So that was the last few times that we learned. Let's see the flow, and then we'll see how that continues to today's. So he says a beautiful thing that I'll read some of it inside and some I'll do orally. So the Al-Sheikh tells us that, first of all, we are told when we're treating a poor person that we have to, obviously, remember we mentioned even before we talk about not stealing, we spoke about tzedakah, and that it's our responsibility to help another person in the sense that we said how we should look at it is if Hashem gives us money, and if it's a little bit extra money, it's not ours. He's entrusting it to us so that we should be able to give it to another. We mentioned that last term. So then he goes on, he says like this, that it, first of all, that you should right? That you should supply for the poor person in an honorable way. And if you don't do this, misraksha is kama averis. Then what it will lead to is quite a few sins. Let's see, all the negative things that will, so to speak, domino effect. And he says, oydani meidiacha, ki bahalim einecha milaseis loy matnoisi, asher nasati lahem, asher loy omlu bahem. If you hold yourself back from giving them, as we said, tzedakah, which they didn't work for, right? So you have extra money that Hashem has entrusted you with. You see somebody who needs, and for some reason, you don't give it to that poor person. So you hold yourself back. They didn't work for it, but you know, because you were taught, that the right thing to do is to give them the money. Let's say you don't. So he says, what's that going to lead to? Tava, it's going to make you come to lasek schar socher. You are going to end up actually holding back the money from somebody that you have hired, in other words, the wages that you actually owe somebody. Now the person actually worked for you. It's not like free money that you're giving him. He actually worked. You're going to hold it back, he says. And he says, this, we don't know why, but he says, this is what it's going to lead to. One of the reasons that it will lead to that is, according to the Al-Sheikh, is it's actually the personality. If a person is not giving, what ends up happening is that they lose that, if, in a sense, they feel, my money is my money, right? That's where it comes from, and you hold on to it as long as you can. Therefore, even when a person is working for you and you owe him the money, you'll hold on to it for an extra day, an extra 2 days, because the money really means something to you, in the sense, the money in and of itself and the fact that it's yours. So it will tend to make it harder for you to part even with money that you really have to give the person. Let's see what that leads to. And this is quite powerful. Then he says, it's also going to lead to stealing in public. Let's see how. What's the connection? Oh, I'm so sorry. It says a number 4, does it, on the page? So, so where the 4 is in that paragraph? So let's see now. So look now at the second bit, Vishema. I'm going to start there, Riva. Yeah, beautiful. So Vishema. Vishema toima. If you will say, maybe you will say, loy esoik, I'm not stealing. Rak ekayv biyadi pu'ulasay yoyim oyoymayim. I'm only holding back the wages for a day or two. Really, that's stealing. Because if you owe somebody money and you don't give it to them, that's their money. So the fact that you're holding on to it, it means you're holding unjust money. But you say, no, I'm only holding on to it for a day or two. I have full intention to pay him. So let's see what he says. What's going to happen? And this is quite beautiful because he really puts the real scenario in. So he says like this. That's why he says that the wages of the one who's working for you should not leave it overnight. Why? If you will do that, you're going to cause many negative things to happen. First of all, achas. The poor person who has worked for you that day, and we call him poor because obviously he's a wage earner, so he doesn't have a lot of money. He's dependent on the wages. He's going to go home that day, and what's going to happen to him? With empty hands. I think we might have done this last term a little bit, and I feel bad now I'm thinking, but we're going to continue because into our pasuk. He says, and what's going to happen is he's going to come home, his hands are going to be empty. And there's no bread because they're waiting for him to bring the money to be able to buy food. And the wife and the children are lifting their eyes and excited that he's come home, and they're looking at his hands, El Yodav, Laharik Lahem, to give them money so they can buy food. And what happens? The Ein Kol Meuma Biyodav. He's very graphic. There's nothing. He's coming home empty-handed. How do they react? As yitenes kaile bebechi. So they lift their voices and they cry. Vikara, and they scream. V'amar. Arur ha'ish asher asisi imay hayay melacha. Cursed is the person who you worked with. Remember we said last week, don't curse the deaf. This is what you're leading to. You're withholding the wages. This woman is going to be cursing you because you were supposed to pay, and now we have no money and they don't have any food and they're hungry. So he says, why? Ki reikan shlachani, that they've sent you home empty-handed. Bila v'lo chamala, right? That he's hold back, and he didn't have compassion, the a'ami, and so not only did the wife curse, but the person themselves curses, and he says that he didn't have compassion on me, va'alishti, and on my wife, and va'albni, and on my children, al-kain, so therefore, Allah ani mitzave, I am commanding him, which means the person who employed the other person, I command him, va'aymer, oh, no, so not the employee. So what does Hashem say? I command him, loy sikal el cheresh, don't curse. But it's interesting, because here, even though obviously the person is not correct in cursing, nevertheless, he doesn't have full responsibility. Who shares the responsibility? The one who was supposed to pay him. Even though we say we're not responsible for somebody else does. No. So here, look what he says. And that continues. Because on this, the employer, the one who has the money, it says, don't put a stumbling block before the blind. If you don't pay him, you're causing him to curse you. So you're putting a stumbling block before the blind. So you are responsible for the curses that he does. As he says, if you say to the rich person, why are you acting like that? Why aren't you paying him? And they're waiting, you know, their soul is pining for the payment. It's on the top of the next column. Of him and his wife and his children. So what's the rich man going to say? What did I do? I didn't intend to steal. Tomorrow, etain. I'm going to give him tomorrow. So he only asked me today. I'm going to pay him back tomorrow. From what I'm going to give him. Why is he cursing me? In other words, why is he overreacting? I'm only delaying it for one day. That's what, it's very interesting. I remember when my mother once, if I can remember correctly, the Yiddish saying, zate fehlt nicht der Hungrige. If you're full, you don't feel the pain of the one who's hungry. And it is so, so, so much like that. It's very interesting how people who, let's say, have money, let's say one day they might not have, they don't understand what it means to be really poor, what it means to really depend on the wage that you're bringing home that day. It's a very interesting thing. This is just the tendencies. So this person is not acting really intentionally, cruelly. He just doesn't have that sensitivity to understand the way the mind and the way the life of this person is. Even if the person might, yes, have a little bit of food, but it doesn't matter. He's really dependent on that. And to him and to his wife and to his child, it's like the world is coming to an end. He doesn't see it as anything bad, so terrible, and it is. And that's what the pasuk tells us. So each one thing will lead to the other, will lead to the other. And then he says, "Al kein ani omer lecha asher." That's why I tell the wealthy person, "Ki gam ata loy sinake, you are not clean. Ki aloy v'lifnei iver loy siten michshol, you shouldn't put a stumbling block before the blind. Lovay leklal kas, you're causing him to become angry. V'lechlal toos kazen, to make such a mistake. Sheyichar apay, that he gets so upset. V'yikal lecha, and he curses you. V'loy al chisorein hadalan yoseh." Interesting. He says, it's not because of this poor person, Hashem says, Kechas olav, oy mi bilti yayosli malas seisloi mi blis charecha. You think I can't pay him a different way? You think it's because of the poor person that I'm commanding you to act this way? I can supply him with food another way. That's what the Eibishter is telling. But this is a command directly to the person who has the money and is meant to pay. He says, no. Rak bechem losi alecha. I'm actually having compassion on you. Because you have to have fear of God. The one who is your God. And we know the word Elohim is judgment, justice. Because he says, why? That the name of God, of justice, will be called upon you. What does that mean? Masha'ata and Hashem, right now I am acting in a compassionate way. I am God, Hashem Yudke Vavke, Baal Rachamim, Shehishpati Alecha Taiva. I have given you up until now so much good. You are wealthy, you're able to employ somebody else. You even have the means to do that. But in a minute, Ki Bekalus Epai Hashita, in so easily everything can be transformed. And what could happen? The Yashir Hapayel, and the worker, he can become wealthy. The think it's Visurash Ata, right, Turash, that means, and you will become poor. It could happen in 1 minute. V'yareisa me'elekecha. It is you that I have compassion on. I'm not worrying about the poor person when I'm telling you pay him on time. It is your responsibility and it is for your benefit. Then I want to continue because then we come to our pasuk. Then he says that flows on to our thing. What's the next one? Loisasu avel, right, on the next column, on the same column underneath. And now it's even going to continue and make even more terrible things happen. May holen pula, when you don't pay the person on time. Vuki achar over yomim, because what will happen after a few days pass? Yamid es bal habayis bedin. Ha! What's going to happen? So the employee, what's he going to do? Because the employer is not paying him, he's going to take him to court. That's what our pasuk was talking about. Judging favorably. So now he's going to take his employer to court and say, hey, he didn't pay me. He owes me money. And now what's going to happen? And this is interesting. So the Al-Sheikh says what it can lead to, all the terrible things. He says, he's going to bring him to judgment, saying he owes me my wages. And the person might say, I already paid him. First of all, he might intend to pay him and think that's already paying him. Or he might pay him a little bit less. He might forget exactly how much he owes him. A lot of things can happen if you don't pay immediately when the person is expecting to be paid. But
once a week or once a fortnight?
A set time. You have to pay on exactly right. It's such a problem when you don't. Big problems. People do get confused. You can get even confused with the amounts and confuse things. And then you could think the person paid you too little. He might have paid you too much. He might not. You know, anything could happen. You come to court, and now what happens? And I look what he says. Very interesting. It sounds like almost like it's a story, but it actually... It does. It's like a domino effect. And these things, one thing leads to the other. And it's a very powerful idea. It shows us that every single small thing we do has such an effect that we don't even know. We think it's such a small thing, but we don't know what it can actually lead to. It's quite...
Arguments at home.
Sorry?
Arguments
at home. Yes, that's exactly right. It does.
Children,
yeah, it's quite a powerful thing. So he continues and he says, so what's going to happen? They're going to come before the judges. And what he's going to say like this, va'oz mis'aseid gam hadayin lachet. You are also putting the judge in a difficult position. It is possible that he will also sin. Why? Why are you going to cause him to sin? So he says like this, because what might happen is, v'yavar al-loisasu avel b'mishpat, and he will transgress this part that you should judge properly, right? That you shouldn't make a mistake in judgment. Why? First of all, it's possible that the judge might lean to one. It could happen. Possibly. That's not the right thing, but it could happen. And you're setting it up for, unfortunately, a case that shouldn't even have to come to the courts, you know? It would be better if it didn't come to the courts at all. Okay, then he says, why also might it happen? Oh, yoimar beliba, because what might the judge think? Hayitachin ki ish asher chamat. The judge will look at these two litigants. One person is a man who owns a business. The other person is a simple poor worker. So he's going to think to himself, this guy who has so much money, do you think, honestly, he didn't pay this other person a few dollars? Of course he's the one that paid. The poor person must have forgotten or is coming because he wants more money. He's going to lean to favor the wealthy man because it sounds more logical that the person who has money would pay up what he owes. And it sounds less logical that, in a sense, that the person who's owed the money should be right. Because why would he care? $2-3, whatever it is in his scope of what he owns, it's nothing. So you're going to cause the judge to actually judge the wrong way, as he says. It says, and he might even think that it's the hunger and the poverty. That's what... That's what's lifting, that's what's actually motivating this poor person to come incorrectly against the wealthy man with a libel. You might think that, and you might not even be saying, like, you might not think the poor person is such a bad man, but you might think his poverty is what's causing him to act in this way. That's possible. Another thing that might be going through the mind of the judge, interesting, is totally the other way. The Efshar ki b'hapaychu, maybe it's the other way around. The Yiske es ha'asher v'yasa aval b'mishpat. Okay, and he says, and you will make the rich person correct in judgment, and then you will be doing the wrong thing. That's one way. But then he says, oh, he's happy. Or maybe it's totally the other extreme. Ki yoimar, because what will the judge think? Hayitochein, arev elibay ish rash, laha is panav neged ha'ashir. Do you think it's possible that a poor person will have the chutzpah to bring a wealthy man to court unless he is correct? He wouldn't do it. So he might lean towards the poor person because he's going to think that if the poor person is actually coming to the court and bringing a wealthy man to court, of course he's right. He wouldn't do it in his right mind otherwise. And the truth is we do find that now. Many people do think that because especially now you think, well, the rich person can get the best lawyers, right? So the poor person wouldn't be such a fool if he wasn't correct. Only if he's really correct. That's what's motivating him to come. So again, it's making the judge lean to the poor person. So it's a hard thing. It's making the judgment very difficult for the judge to judge properly. As he says, you're putting him in a very difficult position. In loisha emesita, right? If the truth wasn't with him, the poor person wouldn't come. Raksha tirdas ha'asher ba'asher, and he thinks, again, this judge is judging everybody very favorably, but he thinks maybe this rich man, why didn't he pay him? He was just too busy. He got too occupied. He has too much wealth and too many financial dealings, and he forgot to pay this poor man. It could happen. Overlooked. So that's what the judge might feel. And then he gives him, I'll just tell you earlier, he gives another way of how it could also be distorted. Not that he distorts the din, but he actually intentionally almost distorts. He says like this, you know what? I have a very good way of judging. That's what we said originally, what the judge might think. Here's a wealthy man, here's a poor man. So I have a very good thing to do. Now, the poor man needs the money. But the rich man, what's more important to him is his reputation. So what will I do? That's what he says. So he says, I'll tell the rich man that, you know, he has to pay money, right? Let me just see something, how he says it. Oh, he says like this. So what will he do? So interesting. In the courtroom, he treats the wealthy man with tremendous respect. Gives him a lot of honor, treats him with respect. But when it comes to the verdict, quietly, he like says, no, I think you have to, you're guilty. You have to pay this and this. But he doesn't make that the big statement. Rather, the way he behaves is with tremendous honor towards the wealthy man. And he thinks, well, now I'm saving everybody. Poor person's getting his money. The wealthy man has his honor intact. Again, it's distorting everything. And who is doing that? The first person who didn't pay the wages on time caused all of this to happen. Quite an interesting way that the Al-Sheikh looks at it. Quite powerful for us. I just want to see one more thing. Let's just look at the last paragraph on the page. It says, have a done oisai lakafs chos, right? You should judge him favorably. I think there was one thing before that. We'll leave this one here now. Let's see, I want to show you something. Today I feel bad because I took too long. Because there's so many beautiful things. I just want to show you one story. So, because we're talking about kafschos, and I really wanted to get to the meaning, the deeper meaning of done with kafschos. We'll try. I just want to show you. This is a Gemara from Gemara Shabbat. So it says a number 5 near it. There are really 3 stories. We're only going to see one today. It's actually a famous story, but it's quite incredible. The Gemara tells us in detail. Here we see somebody who followed this mitzvah properly. And what's the story? And it's interesting to know the Gemara doesn't say who it is. The Mefarshim tell us that actually the person who will see, who judges favorably, is Rabbi Akiva, before he became Rabbi Akiva. Fascinating. So before he learned, before he studied, he hired himself out and he was working. Remember, he married Rachel. The father-in-law didn't give them any money. They were poor, so he had to go make money so that they have where to live. Look what the Gemara says. So I'll just read you in the English. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught us in a braisa. You see near the number 5. One who judges his fellow man favorably is himself judged favorably. And he gives stories. He said there's an incident involving a certain man.
that, and this is Rabbi Akiva, who went down from the Upper Galilee and entered the employ of a certain homeowner in the south for 3 years. In those days, it wasn't easy. On the eve of Yom Kippur, following his 3 years of work, the worker said to the homeowner, "Give me my wages and I will go and provide for my wife and children." The homeowner replied to him, "I have no money." So said the worker to him, "Then give me my wages in the form of produce." So he says, "I have none." This was a very wealthy man who had lots of fields and lots of produce. But he says, "I have none." Then he says, "So give me land." "I have none." So the worker says, "Give me livestock." So he says, "I have none." Said the worker, "Then give me pillows and cushions." The employer says, "I have none." Unable to obtain any of his wages. So what does this worker do? He just slings his belongings over his back and he returns home dejectedly. But he says nothing to his employer. After Yontif comes on, go to the top of the next column, the homeowner took the worker's wages in his hand, along with three loads of goods. And it's just amazing how much he brings him extra, obviously. And one drink, what does he say over here? One donkey load of food and one drink, and one of various sweet delicacies, and traveled to his former worker's house in the Upper Galilee. After they had eaten and drunk, he paid the worker his wages. And then he said to the worker, so this is actually not the way the Al-Sheikh played out, because this was a very special person called Rabbi Akiva. Even before he learned, we see that he had such an incredible, refined personality. And the man asks, you know, the employer asks him, "What did you think?" So he goes through everything. He says, "When you said to me, 'Give me my wages,' and I said, 'I have no money,' so what did you suspect me?" So he says, "I said to myself that perhaps underpriced merchandise came your way, and you bought it with the money that you would have otherwise paid my wages." And the Gemara says an interesting thing, that if the person's already finished working, right, and you owe him the money, you can't use the money. But maybe he used it before that, right, before he had the wages were due. And that's why he had no money left. That's what Rabbi Akiva thought. Maybe that's why he's saying he doesn't have money. And then he asks him, "What about when," he says, "'Give me livestock,' and I said, 'I have no livestock.' So what did you suspect me?" So the worker said, "I said to myself that perhaps they were leased to others," and it was all true. And then he says, "And when you said, 'Give me land,' and I said, 'I have no land.'" So he says, "Yeah, what did you suspect?" So he says, "I also said perhaps it was leased to others." And then he said, "And what happened when I said that I have no produce? Bameh chashedtani, what did you suspect me?" So the worker said, "I said to myself that perhaps you could not give it to me because it wasn't, meiser wasn't given from it." So you might say, "So what?" The interesting thing, that's also where we see interesting things. Rabbi Akiva at that point didn't know how to learn. He was a simple man. And there is a halacha that you have to be very careful with the mitzvah of meiser. And meiser needs to be done properly. And if the person doesn't know the halachas, you shouldn't give him something that has not been taken meiser from yet. So maybe that's why you didn't want to give it to me, because I don't know the halachas well enough. So you were holding it back. And what else? And it was not tithe. And then he says, "And when I said it goes on underneath to you, I have no pillows or cushions. So what might be the problem?" So he said, the worker replied, "I said to myself, perhaps he has consecrated," which means he has donated it to the Beis Hamikdash. Like I said, "I'm going to give it to the Beis Hamikdash." And the employer says, "By the divine service, I had vowed all my possessions to heaven." He says, "Because of my son Hyrcanus," who did, and he was Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and I think he has a son also named Hyrcanus, who did not occupy himself in Torah, I did not wish him to benefit from them. And when I came to my colleagues in the south, they annulled for me all my vows, and now I am able to pay you." And the Gemara finishes beautifully, "Just as you have judged me favorably, so may Hashem judge you favorably." Now, very interesting, because the truth is that halachically speaking, Rabbi Akiva didn't really have to judge him favorably, and he owed him money and he should have paid him money. And Rabbi Akiva came home and he didn't have money. So the truth is that if he wouldn't have, we wouldn't have, in a sense, been harsh on Rabbi Akiva. And yet we see from here going beyond the letter of the law. So although we said before, when you withhold the wages, the person's going to curse you, obviously the person shouldn't curse you, but you shouldn't withhold the wages. So it's an interesting thing, but it's a very interesting, the Gemara goes through a few stories of where we see things that look one way, but maybe there's another reason. It's showing us that what we have to do is not only judging favorably in the easy way, like looking at other people and thinking, they mean well. But even more than that, we should try to find excuses for them. It's interesting why we do it for ourselves all the time. We should apply that to others. We're so quick. We do. We constantly do that. When we, I'm tired, I have a headache, I don't feel well, why I snapped. We just very quickly, al kol psha'im techasa ava, on all of our sins, our self-love just covers up. So we have to use that for others. And we'll learn a little bit more in depth about that in 2 weeks' time, I think. But I just want to show you something. I'll just start, even though it's only a few minutes, because a very beautiful idea, and it's this week's parsha. This concept, so this goes to page number 6, of judging favorably, is a very powerful idea. And how does it work, and to what extent, and what is the impact that it can have? So I just want to show you one halacha from the Rambam. This is from the Rambam of Hilchas Deis. Rambam Hilchas Deis is so, so fascinating. It would actually be beautiful to do on Sashir on. And he talks a lot about improving our personality, you know, all the good ways we're meant to act. That's what Hilchas Deis is about. Not getting angry and all the different things. And he also, but he's very interesting because part of his halachas is just for ordinary people. And then he has a section for people who he calls Talmidei Chachamim. People who are Talmidei Chachamim are held to an even higher standard. I think for most of us, we actually should put ourselves in that category. I'll tell you what I mean by that, because of the chilul or kiddush Hashem that we cause. If somebody is officially religious, so to speak, right, and people can identify you as that, then you have to keep the higher standard. Whether you are or not, doesn't matter, you do. So what does the Rambam say about somebody who's a Talmud Chacham? One of the things he says, Talmud Chacham, lo yehei tzayek v'tzayveyach b'shas tiburay kebehemes v'chayis. This is an interesting halacha that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't be screeching and screaming like animals in the streets, right? Always speak. The lo yagbia kayla b'yezer shouldn't lift his voice too much. Rather, diburay b'nachas emabriyas, he should speak calmly with other people. Then he says, ukishi yedaber b'nachas, but we have to be very careful. When you speak in this sort of calm, even-handed way, yizahar shelo yisrachek. Don't be cold, because sometimes a very calm, cool, collected way can also come out as cold and at a distance. He says, to the point where the person might think, the person might think you are arrogant, in a sense that you are speaking in a condescending way. So it's a very fine line. Speak warmly, speak on the person's level, but not in a coarse and in a, you know, the way that people in the street scream and shout. Umakdim shalom, you should be the one to first say hello to people. Kadesh te rucha noicha imene, so that they should be happy with you, they should like you. Now, this is a very important part. Then he says, Vidon eskola adam lekafschus. That's our mitzvah. Judge everybody favorably. And he says, Misaper b'sheva chaveira, speak with praise about your friend, so speak positively about them, v'loy bignusay klal, nothing negative at all, and that's not just talking to the person, about the person as well. Don't say anything negative and try not to think negatively about them. That's what the Rambam is implying, we'll see soon. That's why he starts with judge them favorably. And then he says, ayev shalom, love peace and pursue peace. Now, time is really up. I feel that's such a shame. But the Rambam will, not the Rambam, but the Rebbe explains beautifully, and I'll just tell you one verse, and we'll do it more next week. I will repeat it next week, because I just want to do it properly. But he says a beautiful thing. He says that the way the Rambam put the halacha, the order, is actually very significant. Everything is significant. And he says the fact that the Rambam first writes, judge them favorably, and then he says, speak with praise and not negative at all, is very exact. Because he says, what is a person supposed to do? When you see somebody else, and you look at them, and the first thing you might notice is he's doing something wrong, or he's not acting the way he should, right? That's what we might see, unfortunately. And why do we say that? Because obviously we're talking about that, because otherwise why would we want to speak negatively, right? That's why the Rambam's obviously talking about somebody who's doing something wrong, that we have to prevent ourselves from speaking negatively. So what does it mean, don es kol ha'adam l'kaf schus? We're not just saying that we give him excuses for what he's doing, because that's not l'kaf schus. That's just saying he's tired, he has a headache, but you're still acknowledging that he did something wrong. So the Rambam here is saying something much deeper. He's saying, when you look at another person and you see that they don't behave properly, what you should be thinking, how your line of thought is, that this person has been given a tremendous challenge, in whatever it may be. If it's in his personality, if it's perhaps because he frequents different places or is in a different environment, whatever it may be, brought up differently, whatever it may be, they have tremendous challenges. And those challenges make it very difficult for them to act in the proper way. What we have to do is we have to realize that if Hashem gave that person challenges, then he also gave him extra strengths to overcome those challenges. We really believe that. We believe that Hashem asks of us what we can do. So if Hashem gave the person challenges, they also gave them ability to overcome. It's not easy, and he doesn't always do it, right? That's why we're looking at them and we notice something negative. But that person definitely, somewhere deep inside, has some extra strengths that he might not even be aware of himself. We look at them, and we done, that's why we use that word judge, lekafschus. We lean it to the merit. What does merit here mean? Not just schus as far as zakai, innocent, but more the pure. We find that inner purity, that inner strength that that person has, that Hashem definitely gave them, and we talk about that, whether it's to ourselves, sometimes it's just to ourselves. Misaper b'shev v'chaver. It doesn't mean you can tell everybody else, because that you're not going to go talk negatively, but that's the self-talk. This person is not behaving the way they should, but I know that they have something inside of them that they can overcome it with, because Hashem must have given it to them. And what that does is you don't end up loy bignusai klal. Not only don't you end up seeing the negativity, what you do is you actually, it says, reveal that strength in the person. When you become aware of it, it's very interesting, he says, and you maybe talk to yourself about it, just like speech reveals something which was hidden, hopefully you will be able to bring out in the other person that inner strength that they really do have, and hopefully in the future they'll be able to overcome that negativity that they have been engaging in. Now obviously we're not responsible for the other person, so we can't sit there and feel a heavy weight on our shoulders and say, well, we're looking at them favorably and they're still choosing wrongly. That's not our business. But what our business is how we view them and how we judge them, and to realize that we do have quite an interesting, if you want to say, ability to have an effect. I've only a short way, but next week we'll see it more. But it's a very powerful thing and a very important thing. And one thing that it says in Tanya, it says, when we see other people and they act in a certain way, what we have to think is perhaps, it's a very cute way that Tanya says, maybe this guy is working in the marketplace and I'm so lucky and I have a very pristine environment that I'm in. And how do we know that it's not his environment that's causing him to sin? That's why it says, in Pirkei, it says, also it says, Al tadin es chavercha, don't judge your friend, ad shetagia limkaimai, until you come to his place. Because mekaimai goyrem loy lachtai, it's his place that's causing him to sin. And we know that an environment can be an external environment and an internal environment. And sometimes a person is plagued by very big challenges inside, and that's what's causing them to sin. So it's not up to us to judge another. That doesn't excuse anybody. We're not excusing, but we're just saying that's the way we view, and it actually has an impact. And that's a very powerful thing.
It works with kids.
Oh, that's for sure. 100%. No question about it. Okay, I want to just do it. Anyways, I'm sorry it took so long to do. Oh, well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Okay, so I think you can unmute yourselves if you want to. And Imrit Hashem, next week we'll continue and we'll see. I thought we would get to the next pasuk, but Imrit Hashem, next week we will. Sure.
Thank you, Dina.
Enjoy, you're very welcome. All right. So, Ichana, what if it's tzedakah?
If someone finds
something. Good to be reminded.
That's right.
Of value. Do you give a portion of that to tzedakah, or are you?